Well, thank you very much for coming to this presentation today. We are normally four in the expert jury. Sadly, Anne couldn't join us, but she participated in picking the winners, and she told us to say hello to everybody, and she was also really thrilled about the stores that were selected this year. But first and foremost, we would like to congratulate the 31 winners, national winners. This year in particular, we had some amazing stores participating from all over the world. And the GIA program is truly a global competition. We had stores from Chile to Estonia and from Germany to New Zealand, and representing more than 30 countries. So again, it was just amazing to see all these innovative retailers from around the world. And we'll dive into some of the examples that we were presented with the retailers. But a lot of beautiful stores with excellent store design.
He didn't switch on his sound.
So a big, big thank you to all your local editors. You do an excellent job in picking the national winners. And please always be sure to tell the national stores that they are champions. They were selected as the most innovative store in their country and should be feeling very proud for that. But thank you for your big effort. It is tough for us to sit there and decide. And this year, we saw so many great e-commerce solutions that they simply couldn't choose just one. And there could have been even more. But of course, somebody has to win, and somebody cannot win it. But we want to dive into a great little example. This is the Brazilian store. And just to show how they managed to merge the mortar brick store and the e-commerce store, done by a simple little trick. Then when you enter their website, let's see if it works here, a small video appears, and you are zoomed in into the door and welcomed in the physical store. Just a small little, but very clever feature. And then they use an excellent AI service, so they always can offer relevant help to their customers. If we saw the Turkey store, and it was just, it made you smile. They are also a modern brick, and they have an excellent e-commerce. In the store, they have a lot of activities, and they are also reflected in their social media content. And then the zooming in of something and a trend there is this
game. Game start.
Now, this video was posted last week, and they're pretty good at doing this. They got 26,000 likes and plus 5,000 shares within a week. And it really plays with the products that they're offering in the store in a very fine way. So props for that. We are often also asked, how is it possible for you to judge a single store with a department store? When you see the 31 stores that were nominated this year, there was a huge span between the services and the products they offer and also the sizes of the retailer. The reason we can do it, and this is one of the strengths of this competition, is that it's not a beauty contest. Doesn't mean you should make your store ugly or anything, but it's innovation. And innovation is not about money. It's not about how much money do you have. So the department store will always win over the single store. It's how you think about retail. It is a global innovation award, and we judge you on your region and what you do in your country or in your region that's specific. But innovation is all about rethinking, reinventing, and exploring new things. So being innovative, and this year we saw from some of the stores the dream to dream big and make a dent in the universe, trying to make it a better place. So if we look at the exciting retail experience, it's become a trend now, which is really good, that you want to be responsible, because that attracts good employees. It also makes a strong connection with the local society. And we saw some great examples where now it has moved from a vision or a mission statement into concrete examples of how to make the world a better place. This is New Zealand. They plant trees. If you take the store from Chile, fantastic store. And this is just some of the examples of the things they are doing to make the world a better place. They were the first to integrate gay couples into their benefits. They support local design. They are supporting diversity and inclusion. They recycled 1,000 tons of clothing. They've repaired more than 30,000 toys and given them a second life. And I could go on and on. This was really inspiring to see what they did.
Very nice.
If you take the Australian winner, they decided to be a carbon neutral organization. So they invested in solar panels, making sure that the setup there, and they also very strong on making sure that the pricing and the sustainability played a main part. So they were sure that they pay a fair price so that the manufacturers also can do things under good conditions. Very, very strong. The most important thing, and we saw some good examples, is your store needs to be easy. You want to be a banana. The reason for that is that you don't want to be an orange. If you take the sale of a banana versus orange, it explains it well. And the reason why the banana is number one, it's simple. It's a handle. If the banana looks good, it's going to be good on the inside. Now, versus the orange, it takes a lot to peel it off. You're going to get the juice in your finger, and then you don't really know what's inside. So you want to be sure that your store is a banana, and you should all go home and do the fruit test on your services and your design to see how it works. And we saw a good example of this in Germany. This is the German store. They do a lot of store activities. They also have yogurt brunch in their store. One of the things they do well is the pizza oven sale. They have kids, and then they said, the first pizza is baked by us in your home. And that statement just raised my eyebrows very much, because this is it seems like, is this overkill brilliant? That we drive home and the first pizza is baked by us. And it's brilliant. And the reason why is pretty simple. There's a 5 to 20% chance of making a sale to a new person. There's a 60% chance of making a real sale to existing customers. So whatever you can do to create retention, to create loyalty, to create ambassadors, you should really invest in that. So you should have a very simple rule to your staff. Be very nice to the people already buying or using your services and products. And AI can help you in that. And if you look at AI and into the retail space, I have to say that AI is not the future. It's the present. It's already there. And you got it all around you. The AI service train has left the station and you might not even notice it. If you use Google, this is a picture I took in my summer house of the teacup, instantly telling you product information and where to buy it. So this is the reality we live in. We need to know how to use and embed those services in the retail space. And I'm going to give you some examples. This is a magazine from a Danish grocery store. Now, the girl on the right side is a real model. The girl on the left side is an AI model. You can't tell the difference anymore. This also allows ankle biters who can't afford a model agency to embed people with diversity and everything into their design. It can also be used to integrate your customer service in really cool ways. And I'm going to give you an example. But first, I'm going to introduce my son, Christian, because we're flying over here, and this is the airport in Copenhagen, and we go to the lounge. And let's say I'm selling reading glasses, but you have a bottle of wine at home, but you have no idea what the right size and form of the glass would be in order to present the intention of the winemaker. So, and I don't know how many of you know Riedel, but if a wine could choose a glass, it would be a Riedel glass. It is by far the best superior wine glass in the world. Why? They create wine and grape-specific glasses. So I was sitting there in the lounge, and we were talking about it, and I look at Christian, And then I say, I said, Riedel is offering a grape specific glasses. Could you make me an AI service where you could just look up the wine and it'll show you which glass to pour it into?
That's quick.
Thank you. Well, it took me 10 minutes. I went for coffee, came back. This was happening, and I'm going to show you what it does. Now, I could take a picture of every wine in the world. Now, for safety reason, I haven't opened it yet. It's still here. I submit that to the service Kristen created. Found the wine. It's telling me it's an oak full-fat Chardonnay, and it would suggest that I used a Veritas oak Chardonnay glass from Riedel. It can also tell me which temperature I should serve it in. Should I decant it? There's advice about decanting. This took 10 minutes to create, and I can embed that service on my website. I can have it in the store. The staff can look up everything, and I can facilitate this universe about my products. Now, if you don't sell Riedel glasses, you might sell KitchenAid, you might sell MagiMix, you might sell pizza ovens. The world is your oyster regarding to this, and it's just very convenient and very easy. And you'll make sure that it's actually, you're getting the scent and the taste of the wine instead of, if you pour it in the small slim glass, it'll taste and smell of oak. In the other glass, it'll get buttery and vanilla and everything, and the reasons why you paid some dollars for the wine will appear. Now, if you don't have a son like I do, and you can't borrow him, he's mine. When you come home, find your local AI agent and start playing around with this. Think about all the services and just write down all your ideas, and they can help you. It's a cheap, fast, easy way of offering a great customer service. Thank you. Scott? Scott? Both of you.
Thank you, Henrik. It was great presentation from the winners, and it was great to hear that everybody is working with AI here. Are you working with AI? Yes? Please, hand up. Okay? Several people. So AI is not the future, it's still present, and this is a good thing to hear. How can I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. The future of retail will be AI. I'm not so sure, but it will be still the human being. But in the end, we have challenges. We have a shortage of staff. We have no skilled workers. We have time-saving issues because the people don't want to work so long anymore. And the lack of imagination of the design of decision makers is also a big problem. So cost savings are also a big thing, and individualization. Everybody wants to be individual. If you go to Michigan Avenue, you see the Converse pop-up store. They make individual shoes for you, and it is within half an hour, and then you have an individual happy birthday Converse shoe, for example. Sustainability is a thing, and also the experience with how to create a community around you. Because as Henrik mentioned, it is important to bring the people back. And the German guys with the pizza did it very well. They go into the house and make the pizza, and then they say, hey, you are one of our community guys. AI develops in retail. Of course, in the back of house, there is no problem to integrate AI in delivery and all these things. But we have also the thing with sound design in retail spaces, the sensibility of customer care can be also be a thing, how to present it, like we saw it here with this wine degustation, for example. And fragrance is also a very important thing. We can stimulate the senses and the motivation how to buy it with AI, with how to bring exactly the right fragrance into this area where we have the customers. For example, to make atmospheric things. Of course, everybody asks me, can
can have a return on investment because it's always combined with money and with spending. And of course, it has to be measured. Experience per square meter, this is our topic. It's not only selling per square meter and the product per square meter. And experience per square meter to measure is a little bit difficult. But we can make it with these heat maps and with a customer frequent service. It is not important to have a big boom, a bond or a big cash turnover. It is important that the people come back and they realize that you are the guy who are selling these. If they buy it in internet or in your store, it's a big issue, and you don't can really interfere in this mindset at the moment, because if it is the price it's too high in your store, they will automatically go on the internet and they will have a look, is it cheaper there? If it is too less, nobody will care. But maybe they don't have the right, they don't have cash, or they don't have the credit card, or they have other, or they have no car around, so they cannot transport it. So there are so many circumstances from outside that you are not aware, does he buy or not? But if he's accepted, or if he's convinced from your expertise, then he will come back. And this is the important thing. So frequency measurement is also a really big topic. So let's attract these guys, because human beings don't want to sit all the time behind the screen. I'm sure everybody of you is relaxed behind the television, but on the screen it's more active. Yeah? And sometimes you want to go out, and you don't want to browse all the time. And of course, the products will come from internet, will be delivered like water in the pipe, but it's still worth to go out and to have a social connection. And this is very important, that when they go out, you have to attract these guys and to make them motivating to do something. And experimental or experience retail, this is the topic. It's not only product placement, it's how the motivation is and how much can they make with your products to do them, you know, to make it more competitive, to stand out of the competition. So customer engagement, it's not... If the customer goes in your store and has to buy or not to buy, this is not the question anymore. You have to give them more choices, just to bring them motivated, more engaged in your brand. If you are a multi-brand store, you need more engagement in giving them the good moments, to give them more possibilities to connect to other persons, to get better feeling in your place. If you are Nike, or if you're Apple, or if you're Samsung, or something like this, then it's much easier to create a brand identification. But if you are a multi-brand, you have to be outstanding. You have to make more convenience areas. You have to make more areas where they can connect. And experience is not a good moment in selling. It's not because you make a prosciutto evening or your cooking glasses and like that. No, it is the best speaking or talking to a neighbor. If you're going out with your friends and you shout with them, it can happen in a big party. The party is shit. Yeah? But if you have a good speak with your partner, or if you talk to your friends, or do you have a good conversation with somebody else, or also with a retailer, and you see, hey, he understands me. That's a good thing. It was worth to talk to him. It's not a waste of time. Then it's a good moment. And this is also a good experience, which is anchored in the head. And the brand trustlessness and believing is much stronger than the price, which it's clear. And to move more to this experience store than to this pushy store or to this sales-orientated brand or cheap brand. If you are a discounter,
the price is the only thing you have to satisfy the guys. But if you want to create a little bit more, then it's okay. So loyalty points is a good benefit to keep the people, but also to give them more shopping list products, list or something like that. Product customization is also a thing that you can do. So give them the feeling that you care about them, and you give them also a good price. If somebody claims, you give them a price because you want to keep the mouth shut. But if somebody is satisfied, you don't give him anything. Why not? Then you have to give him a little bit more benefit. And it's not only the loyalty points or something like that. It's more giving him the feeling that he is really worth. Yeah, and when he comes back. The staff is also a very important point. Most of the guys have no iPad. We have no mobile phone, the newest one. Why not? Because they can chat around. No, they have to be integrated in this AI thing. They have to use these things. They have to chat also and not ask the client, can you chat for me? No, that's not, let's give them the right instruments to be a real partner in discussion. And it can also be integrated in this customer benefit situation. So the staff is very important that you integrate him also in this technical environment. And if you ask questions, it is always the best thing. If you are not doing the right questions, they will not give you the right answers. So take time to ask the right questions and give them also the opportunity to produce their own content, like social media. We always say Instagrammable. Yeah? Of course, you can make pictures and then you show it back, but you see, like this cake cutting, it is interesting to make the customer make an advertisement for you. And prioritize memorable moments. This is what I said before, welcome back. That's the important thing. So how to proceed? This is for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. For sure not. The neighborhood store or the corner store who is really private and is owned by the guy who is selling is owning the store, he has another motivation than a selling person. And this is also a very important thing. A boutique or a small store who has the customer in the mind, and you go here and buy the products for the customers, you don't need any technical equipment. You don't need AI, because you know exactly, you call them and you give them the advice, hey, I have a new product for you, I know exactly what's in your kitchen. But as soon as you be bigger, you become bigger and greater and larger and develop more, then you need technical equipment. Yeah? And you need also the help and the support from artificial intelligence. Okay, I wrote some points here, which is very important, but I think the main issue is that you have to decide for yourself what is in your store right or not. Yeah. And I have now not only retailers, but he was, for example, a carpenter. It's a German one in Hannover, and it is in the north of Germany, and it's a woman who took it over from her husband. And she said, okay, I take AI, and they have to, and AI, and the customer can write everything what he wants. And then the AI produces a picture, a visualization. And from this, it's much easier for her to develop a cupboard or something, a wardrobe, when she has an idea. And she saves so much time. And this is the lady here. And she said, she is now creating a startup about this, because it's not only for the carpenter, it's also for a bakery or for a blacksmith or something like that who's producing something for customers. And with this tool, you only write, you want to have a wood, or you have a fancy thing with this color, and then the AI produces a picture, and it will be very easy to produce it later on. There were two kids take it over, the Kiefer Garden Center in Germany. They made a pop-up store in Munich, in the center of Munich, and they had not so much space. So they put all the plants there, and ChatGPT helps the client to find more details about it. So you can make a picture, and then the ChatGPT is telling you, is it used, or is it available, or is it suitable for indoor thing or outdoor, and how do you have to care about it? So it's really fantastic. And another thing is, we make in-store products, just-in-time products with a 3D printer. Just-in-time products is also a thing you can make it with AI. So you make a picture, or you bring some ideas in your ChatGPT or in this AI tool, and then it creates a picture. And then you say, okay, now I want to have it a little bit different. And they make their products now for these plants where you can cover it, you know, this plant cover, was that the Übertopf? A pot, where you bring the pot with the earth into another pot. What do you call this? I don't know. Anyway, but they print this very individual, and the time they print it, they serve coffee or they serve tea and or water, and they go around, and so they have additional attraction to this. And 3D just-in-time printing is not only a thing for small things, it can be also for bigger things here. We have also in India, there is a post office built in with 3D printing, so it will come up. Also, cakes and fruit is in the meantime, we can print. So with proteins, and not in the future, it's also a part of the centuries now, you can print also orchards. So it's really interesting what's possible. So at the end, Scott is coming now, but I only want to say something. There's only one word. It's a human relationship. And you all, you are retailers. You are the guys who are getting in contact, in eye-to-eye contact to other human beings. And AI and also robots will not substitute your eye-to-eye contact and your relationship. And yesterday in the gala, never who was there, it was also shown, or it was seen, that it's a family. It's a kind of community building, and you have to build the community, and it's only going really in human relationship. And be tolerant, respectful, and if you are smart and helpful and careful, then you will have success. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Henrik and Wolfgang. It's really fascinating era that we're in right now with technology and retail, and we're very, very excited about this. But yes, last night, many of you were at the gala, and I would like to personally congratulate Perita, Jesse, Derek for 25 years of an incredible journey, celebrating, I think, believe they said 25 years, 550 stores in 60 countries. This is amazing. So we have the, congratulations. Everyone that have come every year, because this is the only competition in the world that's like this, celebrating innovation. And it really touches every part of the human spirit, as Wolfgang has alluded to. And so we're very excited to be a part of this. Seeing from the product designers like Joseph to the top retailers every year, it's so heartwarming to see these stores come out and participate, and to know that retail is happening, exciting retail is happening all over the world. So we're really inspired. I learned so much myself. I read all of the submissions, and I learned so much from all of the stores. Today, though, I'm going to talk about a brand that we all know, a Starbucks. How many in this room have had a Starbucks coffee? If I could just a show of hands. So virtually everyone, right? Everyone has had Starbucks. Everyone knows the story. It's quite a famous brand. In 1971, Howard Schultz took it over, and in Pikes Peak started Starbucks. What a story, you know, in terms of growing today to 40,000 stores all over the world. And, of course, everyone here has had a Starbucks. You know, you can't avoid it. But what's interesting recently is that this storied brand has had some issues. They've had quarterly comp store sales decreases quarter after quarter. So last year, they fired their CEO, brought in a new guy, and said, can he turn this ship around? And he looked at the store, and his name is Brian Nickel. He comes from Taco Bell and Chipotle, a Southern California guy right now. And he looked at the ordering and technology with Starbucks, and this is what he found. And by the way, I think this is great because on the phone, I can order a coffee today, and then drive to the store. I can pick it up on the counter. I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't have to pay for it. It's like a seamless transaction. You know, who could? Today, over 30% of all transactions from Starbucks are with this mobile app. They have the number one mobile app. It's so simple. It's amazing. What he's found, though, is that somehow mobile ordering has chipped away at the brand's soul. Okay? And that's what I want to talk about today. In the age of technology, in the age of everything that we do, we cannot lose sight of the fact that we are, as Wolfgang talked about, humans, and the interaction between our customer and the store that we saw last night, that we see every day, is still the most important thing. It's so easy today with technology. You see it everywhere in the airport. You see it in the store with the iPad. You see it when you check out at the market, all the self-service. Everything is technology. But in reality, the most important part is a human connection, which leads to my subject, which is the soul of the store. To me, this is the one element that we cannot forget about because it's what retail is all about. It's connecting humans. It's connecting products. It's making friends. It's making great memories. That's what all of us as retailers can do.
Great set.
This is a great quote by Howard Schultz, which he said, the soul of a brand is intangible, but yet you know it when you see it, and so endearing when you feel and experience it. So it's in a way, it's part of all of us. When I see the stores from the Netherlands, and I see the stores from Australia and France, I can see the emotion, I can see that human element, and it's important for us to know, how can we communicate? The challenge is to communicate this. This is, and you look at the Japan store of last night, Bermuda, and how you feel the entire serenity of the design, the high-tech and serenity of the design. They did a great job of communicating the intricacy and the detail of every part of that coffee maker. And it's so intriguing, it's so peaceful, the store itself. If I looked at, in terms of their calligraphy classes, if I look at the Italian store this year and the emotion, we talked to him at great length last night, that he will spend in 2 hours to make sure that every detail of the window is perfect. He'll go outside in front of the store and see the reaction of the customers. Are they smiling? Are they interested? You know, but that part of it is what retail is about. It's a human connection. So when you see his visual display, it's stunning. You know, you feel that you've got to have part of that party in the summertime and inviting your friends. You can just feel it. The quirky, haphazard elements of the design, the fun with the bathing boots and from the ceiling. He's really captured a certain feeling, and you can almost smile, you know? And that's what retail is all about. Today, retail has so many brand touch points. And so if you look at it from the beginning, from the PR, from the marketing, when you're in the store, the in-store communication, the packaging, the customer service. And so if you're communicating the brand of your store, somehow you have to take a look at all these touch points and really plan it out and how are you going to communicate and affect those in a meaningful way to the customer. The soul of a brand comes from the people who live it and breathe it. It's the employees. It's from within your store. And that's how you are going to succeed. And that's what we saw last night, you know, from all the winners. If you look at some of the stores, in terms of the image, you can see right away, you could feel the sophistication. You could feel the vibrant of some of the design. And today, store design and the imagery and the colors is the one way that we can effect this emotion right away from the customer. And so it really is extremely important. See here. Whether it's a more subtle design or more dynamic, the store color is something that really reflects all of us that's going on today. When we plan a store, a lot of us put together a store and we say, well, let's see how this works here, let's see how that, and it's kind of, as we would say, is throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. A lot of times it works pretty well, but really for us, because it's so crucial to have have a relationship with every single customer, that it's important to really plan out the customer journey in the store. We know that almost 90% of the customers, when they enter, they turn right. So how do you actually plan your journey in the store? So it has to be a deliberate action that your store should say that, hey, in the first 30 feet, I want them to see this. I want them to come into a contact or a salesperson at the 60-foot mark. I would like them to see this visual display. I would like for our salespeople to give a demonstration of this at mark 120 feet. So if you plan this out, and some of them have planned it pretty well, then you've got at least a game plan. So you don't want to just throw spaghetti against the wall. You want to have a game plan, like going into a game, right? So that you can plan it out. And if you have to make adjustments, that's okay. But at least you've got a strategy to really engage the customer. There's so many digital and physical touch points today where you have to integrate the digital and the physical. It's a big part of the challenge today for all of us. If you look at this store last year, the winner, and how he really put together this drive table, 50 foot table here, that you can see all of the product. You feel like touching it. You feel like experiencing the entire store. This is another great example of really engaging the customers, of touching the merchandise. It's so important in terms of smelling it. Storytelling. As retailers, the storytelling for us is a huge opportunity to really tell your story. And so all of us have, whether it's online or it's in store, that's our challenge, is how can we tell a story? I always like to see who's doing what out there. And believe it or not, these are some real stores. Fine Nemo for a fish store, okay? This guy feels he's got a pretty good story to tell. Not bad, I would say. I'm not sure. I like this one, Titanic. Okay, that is a pretty fun store, right? Telling you, you can imagine, you know, Thai food on a boat So Adventures of Thai Cuisine, see? This is a bread store, okay? So there's a lot of ways to skin the cat here, right? Bread pit, I don't know, what do you think? That's not bad. I would have to say that's pretty creative. This is an amazing shack of sit. This is a furniture store, okay? So it really catches your attention, but I can't say that this is a store that I would shop at, right? So, but I like to see what's out there. These are actual stores. It's amazing, you know? But if you look at some of the stores that are very well done, like Eataly, I just went there again. I go there all the time, right? And it's a fascinating store where you are really engaged and you're part of the whole experience. And if you go in there, it's all about education. The whole message is you eat, shop, and learn. In a way, this is no different from any of our stores, right? We should be doing the same thing to all of our customers and giving them a lot of information. Their graphics and their storytelling. This is a whole big story about the best produce, best season or best months to have certain produce. That's kind of interesting to know. Hey, you know, when it was the best time to get that squash or so forth. So they're educating the customer. The storytelling that they have is like unbelievable. Where, you know, this risotto, I was reading the stories and they say, Cucina Belvedere has been handed down from generation to generation. Each batch of their rice is traceable from seed to package. It's an incredible story talking about the quality, that you're going to get something so special in quality control that you really are interested in the story that they have. Every part of their store, you're learning. You know, and you can't help but pick up something because I got to get this, you know. And so I think they do a great job in educating the customer from the merchandise. Sur La Table is also doing a great job. This is one of my favorite of Trader Joe's, of a watermelon. Like, how do you buy a watermelon? All of us think we know the key where you tap it or you weigh it or something. And they tell you how to do it, you know, how to actually get the firm, how to know it's a good watermelon. And so they're educating the customer. Something as simple like apples, from Big Lady to the Fuji apple, to say on a scale from sweet to tart, where is this, what kind of apple do you like? These little education is so important. This is a winner many years ago from the UK, where these micro messages, it takes a tablespoon of love, a heap of imagination, and a pinch of salt and pepper. So these little micro messages at the store shelf level are so nice to communicate to your customer as they're, you know, journeying through your store. Talking about how to buy a different bulb. Having fun with your messages. I like some of the messages where they have fun and they bring a little smile, a little humor. You know, boneless chicken right there, you know. So it's a very tongue-in-cheek and fun way to communicate. Ultimately, it's about the customer service. Today, one national retailer has realized a 1-point increase in customer service led to a $149 million increase in revenue. So the customer experience is where it's at today in terms of how you can drive that. This is a great example where this retailer, Dotson, was actually signed her plate on the back, wishing the customer a many joyful meals and happiness, and she autographed it. And it was a great personal touch and really creating that emotion. In a recent customer survey, 53% of respondents say they would pay more for a brand that takes a stand on issues they care about. So before, when retailers would contribute, make a donation, or participate in the community, it was important, but today it's vital. Everything has changed. Today, especially with Generation Z, they view the commitment to the community, to what you stand for, is extremely important. It's no longer just a nice to have. This is a store in LA called La La Land. It's a new coffee concept. And their whole store is based on taking kids from foster care and bringing them to the mainstream, where they actually train them to work in the store. That's the genesis of their store. You know, it is so important that there's a line out the door where customers are going to support that because they like the mission. You know, so today, that is called La La Land, so important. Many of you remember or have heard about the fires in LA. We have two stores that were affected with our customers in a big way. It was tremendous because it was 15,000 structures and so many people that are displaced. So our store, we have a sushi marketplace, created this bento called LA Strong. So every week, even this week we're still doing this, we create hundreds of bentos that we pass out to the first responders and to the evacuees. And it was interesting because we're doing this because a lot of our community was really affected. But it was interesting looking at the engagement. The engagement on social media was so high for the social causes like it's never been before because the customers are so engaged at what the customers are doing. This is our bento. So the soul, the challenge, of course, is the soul of the sword. How do you communicate? The two examples from Australia, to me, they did a great job in the visual presentation, the quietness of the store. It's a vertically integrated product where they make their own ceramics, very high quality. But if you look at the visual display, if you look at the product placement, the visual color story, very pastel, very calming. They do an incredible job. You can just see it there. The other store, one of my favorite, well, 66% of the companies now compete primarily on customer experience. But my other store is our Netherlands friends, right? And I read this concept of what they're doing in Irma and what you put together. And I said, this is a store that knows what they're doing. The whole journey. First of all, they're planning, like I said, the plan of the store. Are they, when they go in this direction, where they're going to get? And they have zones of E, A, B, and everything is very deliberate. This is what we're going to teach the customer. This is so nice how they actually planned it out like this. And the visual display is incredible. Everything that they do, from the branding to the wrapping paper and everything, they put it together. Congratulations. One of the things that we learned is that they communicate when they go to a trade show. They actually tell the customers, hey, we're at Chicago at the Houseware Show, and let them know that they're out there looking for the special parts that's going to make the customer journey that much nicer. This is getting back to our concept. It's called Yama Sushi Marketplace, and the challenge was to see if we can practice some of these best practices of retailers that we learned throughout the year. Ours is a very unique store. We sell sushi and sashimi fresh, together with a lot of Japanese products. So it's a very eclectic, interesting store, very engaging, unique store where the customers come in and get a whole experience. And it's a fantastic journey for us. And the other thing is that it's important for us to craft unique and engaging in-store experiences. So we have extremely fun and compelling sushi making classes that's very, very unique. My wife, Wendy, is our sake sommelier. So we have a sake class that's so fun and engaging. You know, we are able to touch the customers in a way that they've never been touched by this kind of a Japanese store. We actually create stickers for the kids, very fun. So when the kids are shopping, we give each kid a sticker. And of course, they can put it on their laptop, just like a mine, but they're a water bottle. So we're engaging the customer at all different levels. The retail customer engagement begins with the wow moment. And so for us, we keep track of the customer reviews like most of you do. But we have a section called the Hall of Fame, where we kind of separate the reviews that kind of just stand out. And so, and we do that so that we can show our employees that, hey, they're working hard, that they get it. But again, the challenge is, do our customers really understand what we're selling? Do they really understand who we are? Do they really understand the soul of our company? And this 2 weeks ago, we had this review come in from Peter O. He said, wonderful establishment. If there were more markets like this in the world, we could have world peace. And for us, I think that he, Peter, understands the soul of our brand. And the challenge for you all is to see if your customers can really pick up the soul of your store. Thank you. If you have any questions, please. Yes.
I think there are some challenges which are amazing. First of all, young people are not interested in eating well. They're eating with the right tool, right? Of course, and they get flabbergasted when they see about different coloring. But not only with children, it happens with people of all ages. And there's education. Yeah, because the new generations were not taught like our grandmothers taught my parents. So there is a diverse and tremendous ignorance how to use the proper eating tools. And then there is a second problem that we see in our stores, and it's that The new brides have very little interest in having the great china that grandmothers have. As a matter of fact, grandmothers don't have anyone to give that old beautiful china that was made in Europe in the early 20th century because they're not interested. They're interested in the very more experiences. That third problem is that a lot of the department stores, they say make a wedding list. And at the end of the wedding list, they say, okay, do you want the items or do you want the money? They take a percentage and we can credit this for your honeymoon tickets or whatever, your sauna or refrigerator or whatever. How does AI, how can you focus those problems that we face every day because of changing trends in the younger generation?
First of all, I have much more faith in the younger generation, I think. And I think that when I see my kids and Oliver, and we talk as a, they have a dream for a future as well. And I think that the tools, I know your store and I know everything that you do in terms of being able to display good manners and quality. And I think this, like the service I showed here, can only make it easier to educate also the next generation and bring up, as we were talking yesterday at the table, you learned, Oliver, that at 5 o'clock means the waiter can take the plate if you put your cutlery there. So all those things will come and they're not gone. And I have a very positive view on the future. And I think if I look at the retailers, not only in Denmark, but judging the 31, the ones that excel in service and quality and explaining the story and the reasoning behind the product, they do well. The mediocre ones that don't put that energy into it, they are not doing well anymore. So the good stores are really thriving right now. You have anything to say?
No, I totally agree and understand what you're saying. For us to sell the better china, a better crystal like Waterford. I mean, those days are long gone right now. But some of the Generation Z are coming back to the mall, we see, and they are going back to some tradition, not quite to a Waterford crystal, okay, but they are going to more traditional. So I think it's going to take some time, but I don't think I don't think that market is totally abandoned. It just has to have time to re-educate and re-excite the customer.
I want to answer a little bit more general because the situation starts much earlier. The problem is that we are all parents and we are responsible to educate the people. And we are responsible what they think, our surrounding, what we treat, how we treat them, and how we treat our kids will come back to us. Not only to us, also in the future. So exactly what you described is also the births in the society are changing now, a little bit. And I agree with Henrik. I believe in the young generation. I believe also that they will change their mind and they will go back to the traditional things because they see how it will work without all these tradition rituals and all these things. So in this case,
Hi, Sebastian.
Yeah.
I have a tradition my father will say on Google explaining that an exam has come on the squeak on the screen. So my conclusion is all the uniform went to talk. So the wrong part of my exam is on target. In English side they see that on the done then switch.
From the silver realm as well. There are two also vaccines in my mind. Is one from the retail perspective, as well as from generational family, which is wonderful. So you can see this is skills and craft and passion and all. But to feel me, if we are out of law looking at the products, there's an absence of yellow paint. And are they bringing their new innovative products to market a different way? Are they doing it on markets? Are they doing pizza? And the towers you bring those together, like in your right, and it may not be worse than crystal, but what is the new product that appeals to the market?
As a, first of all, I believe that there is and has been a trend towards buying better quality. As a, it's more sustainable that a Maginix kitchen would last for 30 years and you have to be choose the color wisely. And so those products are being more sought after because it makes sense to buy something that lasts longer or being recycled or having the ability to be recycled. And we've seen better and better examples also of taking the trade buyback programs into the home and housewares industry. So I have a Danish retail chain now who's saying you can come back with your cutlery and your plates and we'll give them a second life. So if you want to switch it, do use our place to do it. So what you've seen as trending in clothing is now also coming into the home and houseware industry. And it's quality. We won't get the same kind of amount of products from Temu. In Denmark, we are looking into ways to ban it or make it difficult. At least they have to live up to the same kind of sustainability demands that we have with the European products. So again, I see a positive future. Yes?
One last question.
Similar.
In our country, many of the recent weddings, they have something they call shower bundles, is basically ash, as a gift. Now that goes against our industry of course. How do you get hot? You ever looked into that trend of shower bundles?
Yes, it's right.
No, I think it's culture, as you can't dictate how people, if you desire more to have cash, then, but I think again, if the services you offer as a retailer, the wish list, then if you make that relevant and easy to use, more people will use it. The goal is never to get 100%, but finding your market and the people who buy into your concept. And I think we saw with the chili store, the way that they are open, the way that they can also display that this is also for gay couples can use their service and get the same benefits. As adding those kind of things to it just brings on more clients. So again, I think goal is never to have 100, but it's to be relevant to your core customer portfolio.
I think we're at time.
Yeah, we're over time, but thank you so much for coming. Thank you.